Welcome to America Tonight. Hope you still have your voice. Maybe you were hoarse from celebrating, swinging into another new year. You know, it's just like a week and a half of celebrating. Then you get back to reality and you remember, oh, 2013. What's going to happen in 2013? Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be the skipper of this little ship as we welcome the flyover states and everybody in the nooks and crannies. What a wild week it was for football last week as we're now looking forward to the playoffs. And we bring this up right at the top because we had a fun year with Nail the Score. Thanks to all of you who took the time to stay up with us and call us with your scores and some of your jokes and also sent things in. We had a ton of people that emailed us, and it was just wonderful. We had a winner, Dave in Vermont, right out of the gate. And didn't have a winner through the rest of the year, but a couple of people came really close, like Ray in Missouri. Now, we're going to continue Nail the Score for the playoffs, so isn't that great? I'll tell you a couple of quick things from seedings at the top so you know. The Falcons earned the number one NFC seed, rather. The 49ers earned the number two NFC seed. The Packers were three in the NFC. Redskins, four. The Redskins got in the playoffs by knocking off the Cowboys. People were crazy in Washington. Wild card teams, Seahawks, how about that? Five in the NFC. That's how they ended up there. That's to get the number five seed. And the Vikings, when they beat the Packers, it couldn't be sweeter because of that rivalry. They finished the season 10-6. They were 4-2 in the division. And we love the Vikings. We have to have a spot in our heart for the Vikings because everybody back at the mothership here for the network. So number six in the NFC. They're the sixth seed. If we look quickly, because we don't want to just pound you with football here at the top, but the Broncos are number one in the AFC. Number two, this is seeding, is the Patriots. They finished 12-4. Number three, the Texans with their 12-4 record. They're the third seed. The Ravens at 10-6 are the fourth seed. The wild card teams, the Colts got it done. How about that? The Colts were able to do it without Peyton Manning. And the Colts earned the number five AFC seed. The Bengals, the number six AFC seed. It should be fun to see what happens in the playoffs, and we'll see what the supercomputer says, what game is chosen. But don't forget, mark this down, Wednesday into Thursday in our third hour, Nail the Score. It's like picking lottery numbers. All you have to do is call. Once the computer picks the game, tell us who you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be. Let's tell you a little bit about what's coming up this hour. I said that we were taking a look back in our vault of what a wild year we had. I looked at all the interviews, and we did over 2,000 interviews. I could be wrong on my count. You know, I'm not the best. I went to Catholic school, after all, meaning you count on your fingers. But hour two, we're going to talk with one of the interviews that we did was with Congressman Michael Grimm, who represents Staten Island and Brooklyn. He was reelected again. The people in Staten Island really, really like him. He fought hard for them after everything that happened in Sandy. So many people were stranded, and he came to their aid. Also, we're going to have a conversation with Bill Boyd. He gave us a little bit of the flavor of New Hampshire, since we were there for the primary. What is it like to be the state that everybody looks at the beginning of a big presidential run? And he talks about the history of New Hampshire. I thought that was interesting. We also talked to Congressman Bill Huizinga, who represents the folks in Michigan. He's a Republican. He was very enthusiastic. By the way, Grimm is a Republican. He was very enthusiastic about what was going to happen for 2013 and what was going to happen subsequently after that, and really what the year was going to be like for 2012. Like so many other Republicans, he also thought that Mitt Romney was going to be elected, and we certainly know how that came out. Didn't turn out the way Republicans thought, so now it's all about regrouping, and there's a lot of work already that's been done, I understand, to look forward to what could happen in 2016, who may be on the bench that's strong for the Republicans. I still always hold out hope that maybe eventually we're going to see that third party, or are we going to have another strong run by the Democrats and somebody else gets in? People are still talking about Hillary Clinton, who at the tail end of the year was suffering with a blood clot problem and was stepping away as Secretary of State and has said she does not want to be president. But a lot of people are pushing for her to change her mind. However, that's 2016. We still have four other years to get through. Coming up in 2013, and we're going to talk to a lot of experts about this. You know how I feel about the Constitution and taking rights away and all the hot feelings that people have over this. But because of, sadly, the unbearable tragedy, the loss for all those people in Newtown, Connecticut, gun conversations, whether it's gun control or Second Amendment rights, have really become the buzz in the backyard. I always say America Tonight is the buzz in the backyard, and if it is, that's one of the things that we'll continue to talk about and bring more experts to the table, more statistics, more proof, more what's really happening out there, what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in my neighborhood, what you think would happen if things go a certain way and votes, the pressure for votes starts to happen and we start to see a real trend toward taking away guns, toward people turning in guns. Now they're starting to have a lot of those donating, you know, donate your guns and walk away with XYZ in cash. And as we know, states from different states, it varies from concealed and carry, as they have at our satellite facility in Texas where we broadcast from, and also in Minneapolis, what are the rules there versus what are the gun laws, really not rules, what are the gun laws in Arizona versus New York versus California. When you think of ushering in a new year, I always wonder days later what it's like to be the person who has to clean up Times Square, because you see all the confetti. Now, this is kind of a non sequitur, but I was just thinking off the top of my head what it would be like to have to have that, to be that person that's on a crew cleaning up all the confetti. And I've read a story about Mexico City that they hope they really become the next Times Square, because people are starting to gather there and they're remodeling the areas and they've got walkways in a park that's twice the size of New York Central Park, and they're trying to transform that area into one of the, they say, one of the world's biggest and most beautiful cities by beautifying public spaces and parks and monuments and all that kind of stuff. But what a challenge that would be. You want to talk about a country that has, that the inequality is unbelievable there. There is no middle class. You're either one of the lucky upper class folks or rich people, or you have nothing. So I'm thinking, wow, they're spending millions of dollars to try to transform this area. And then the problems they have with the cartels, even at Mexico City, they have a lot of problems with that. So good luck trying to rival New York City's Times Square. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to kick it old style to the next segment. Hang with us.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. And of course, we have affiliates that touch the Staten Island crowd, WICC in Connecticut, and a few others too as well. We get a lot of New Yorkers that call the show, as well as some of our favorite people from the Midwest and the South. The show is basically syndicated, of course. And we've got Congressman Michael Grimm with us now. He represents Staten Island. He was very quick to correct me that he also represents Brooklyn, because when you're in New York, you got to really be careful about the boroughs and what you say so everybody knows exactly who you're talking about. And the accents are so different. I used to, Congressman, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And here we are in Radio Row in Manchester, New Hampshire. I used to be on WFAN in New York, and I could always, I got good at, you know, because I grew up partially in New York, I got good at the accent. So before anyone called, I already knew who was from Staten Island and who was from Brooklyn and who was from Manhattan.
I just want to go on record and say I don't have an accent.
Yeah, no accent whatsoever. I can't detect one at all. So, you know, here you are in New Hampshire. Who are you? Who's your guy? Is it Romney?
Governor Mitt Romney. You got it.
I knew it. You had that look about you. I thought you said Mitt Romney. I thought I heard you say that. So why Mitt? Because, you know, people listening will say, and because this is, of course, moving on, South Carolina, et cetera, pretty much we feel done deal, New Hampshire. So now you got to set your sights down the road. What is it about that drew you to Romney?
Well, very, very early on, and I took a lot of heat for coming out so early for any candidate. You know, a lot of my constituents felt I should have waited. But I, you know, being a former FBI agent, I pride myself on my analytical skills. And when I analyzed the race very early on, it was very apparent to me that Governor Mitt Romney is the only one that's actually electable. He's the only one that can beat President Obama. So that's extremely important to me, is electability. And then when you look at his experience, he has exactly what I'm looking for and what I think this country is craving and desperately needs. The combination of the executive experience as a governor, especially when that worked across the aisle, with a Democratic electorate, and 25 years private sector experience. To me, that is invaluable, and that's exactly what this country needs to get the economy moving and get people back to work.
Do you see that we were talking about this, and I mean, you know, you're not going to complain about this because this is what you do for a living, but people, you see what happened with Romney the other day where the whole firing thing got discombobulated, but all people see is the headline, and right. You know how that's easy to fall into that trap. Do you think he recovered after that so-called stumble?
Absolutely. I think it'll draw attention and give him the opportunity to say the things that people want to hear. Listen, everywhere I go, and I know everywhere the governor has gone, he hears the same thing. People are furious and to some extent disgusted, and rightfully so, that the bureaucrats and Washington and the government, no one is held accountable.
Right.
And you've got to remember, he's speaking in the context of running for president, not CEO of some corporation. He's talking about the government, and we need to hold bureaucrats accountable. And if you're not doing your job, you should be fired. And that's a good thing about capitalism and a private sector mentality, that if you can't cut the mustard, if you're not doing your job, you should be held accountable, and you should be fired.
So in one of the things that I know that you're big on, and you mentioned your background with the FBI, is you're tough on crime. And to New Yorkers, that's a big deal, obviously. Huge. You saw what happened with Giuliani, and
Absolutely. He
gets the credit for cleaning up the city. And now you see, again, the threats with terror. I was there, 9/11, unfortunately. Obviously, you know, and that hits close to home
for
both
of us. I was a 9/11 first responder. I was a special agent at the time.
Wow.
So it's very personal for me. It's very visceral. I'm also a combat veteran of the Marine Corps. So the threats that this country faces are very real. They're very substantial. You know, and that's one of the reasons why someone like a Ron Paul is someone I couldn't support regardless. The way he talks about Iran and minimizes the threat of nuclear weapons in the hands of Iran is, quite frankly, it scares me. And it's certainly not what I would want at the helm and the commander-in-chief.
Yeah. But, you know, this is always an argument about in New York about guns, because our gun laws, of course, across the country are different depending on where you're from and a whole slew of other things. Where do you stand on the gun issue?
Well, overall, I'm extremely supportive of the Second Amendment. And I go to bat for the Second Amendment as often as I can. The reciprocity bill that just came up, I voted against, though, which would seem opposite my usual position. But the reason is because of large cities like New York. When I spoke with the commissioner, when I spoke with the mayor, when I spoke to my friends in law enforcement in New York City, it's dangerous. When you look at the millions and millions of people that are so closely crowded on the streets of New York, if we have 18 and 19-year-olds from the South carrying their guns while they're here on vacation, the New York City Police Department is not trained to deal with that, and I think it's dangerous, and I think it will end up... And again, I'm not saying that they would commit crimes. What I'm saying is a New York City police officer sees them wearing a gun and reacts accordingly, according to the training they've had, and that could lead to something.
Right.
The other thing is New York City, because of its size and because of just... It's a tough town.
Right.
You know, the chances of someone bumping into you and maybe a normal scuffle where you would just walk away, when you're carrying a gun, it's now a lethal brush-up.
Right.
And that's why I had to vote against it. It was not in the best interest of my district. But overall, I very strongly support the Second Amendment.
How does an FBI guy decide to seg? And obviously, a lot of people will make that transition, whether it's through law or whether it's through, you know, being in the courtroom or being on the streets or like you in the FBI. But why'd you make that segue into politics? What drew you into politics?
Well, I never had aspirations, really. I wasn't looking at a political career at all. But in 2000, I had left the FBI, started my own small business, and was struggling to make a living. I mortgaged my house. I put everything into my business. And in 2009, 2 years into my being an entrepreneur, the president of the United States, Barack Obama, went on an apology tour. Now, as someone that has served in combat and someone that went deep undercover with the FBI, I can tell you that I was outraged. And I could not just sit by and allow that to happen. So I had to become engaged, and I had to do something positive to turn that around. I felt I could be most effective and have the best voice as a member of Congress, and that's why I ran.
So, and here you are, and you're obviously stumping for Mitt Romney, and you gave us the reasons why in the beginning. I think it's Romney, but if it wasn't Romney, would you go with who the Republican candidate is, as long as it wasn't Ron Paul?
Yes. Obviously, I think almost anyone can do a better job than the current president. This current president must be a one-term president, period. But that's why I'm here in New Hampshire and I'm working so hard for Mitt Romney. We can't afford to lose this election. Unfortunately, if Mitt Romney was not our candidate, the only alternative is President Barack Obama, in my opinion, statistically, analytically speaking.
Right. And you looked at that. When we see what's happening in Congress, how do you feel about always taking the blame? Because, of course, that's what the president does. He says, it's Congress. They're jobbing us. They're nothing's going through because Congress, they're just fighting me. That's the problem, well, folks. And it's point. It is, and it's point. And you know that. So,
fortunately, I have broad shoulders, and I know the truth. The reality is, look, it's very smart for the president to do that. He's a smart candidate. He's an excellent candidate. He's a horrible president because he has no leadership skills, but he's a very good candidate. And that's what a good candidate would do. He knows he can't run on his own failed record. So he's pointing the finger and trying to claim a broken Congress. He's the one that's polarizing the Congress. He's the one that's failed to lead. And ultimately, I think that the people of this great nation will hold him accountable.
We just saw what happened with the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta. And, of course, the automatic trigger in talking about that. How does that make you feel when we look at...
I'm extremely concerned. We live right now in one of the most dangerous worlds in our lifetime by far. And it's evolving, and it's becoming more dangerous. You know, the Middle East is on fire. We have no idea what will happen in the Middle East. All that stability that we had in Egypt after 30 years is over. Obviously, Iran speaks for itself. But even Chavez throughout Central and South America, who knows how much that will spread as he's using terrorism to his benefit. I mean, we can go on and on with the threats that we have and then the instability in Europe because of their own economic downturns. We live in a dangerous world, and the last thing we should be doing is lowering our military to all-time lows.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous, and it's one of the things that keeps me up at night.
I agree with you there. That keeps me up at night, too. And lots of listeners here in your district, in your area, that call the show, and across the country,
same
thing that people are so, so concerned about. And I don't think it's just necessarily only Republicans either, by the way.
No, absolutely
Democrats,
not.
Forget the labels. I think that, in general, we're seeing that absolutely across the board. All right, so here you are on Radio Row, and they got you moving around all over the place. I think you were doing some TV.
Yes.
Can tell you got the TV makeup on,
right? I do.
Right?
I'm going to take that off now because I don't have TV until later on.
Well, the biggest question is, of course, because, when I was in New York, I was doing, besides now I'm doing the political show, but I was doing a lot of sports on WFAN. Are you a Giants fan or are you a Jets fan?
I have to admit I'm a Jets fan.
Jets.
But
Rex Ryan, what happened?
I will refuse to speak about the Jets right now. I am pleading the fifth. However, I am supporting the Giants since the Jets aren't there. I'm not one of those. See, this.
You're like a Hillary Clinton. At least it's in the same city.
Exactly. It's still my hometown. And, you know, I'm a Yankees fan, but if the Mets are in there and the Yankees aren't, I root for the Mets.
You're a delight. Congressman Grimm.
Thank you.
It was
so
nice
much.
To meet you. I hope our paths cross again. Thank you.
I'm sure they will. Thank you.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly, 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
More of the local flavor here in New Hampshire. Of course, big doings, we know, first primary. Excited to be broadcasting here. And I've really enjoyed my time with the people. Very straightforward. Kind of reminds me of the people I grew up with in Philly. We talk a little differently. But again, we're broadcasting in all those nooks and crannies, so we thought we'd bring you the flavor of New Hampshire in this primary. We're here with Bill Boyd. He is the vice chair of the town council in the town of Merrimack. Now, Merrimack has some historical significance. I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you know the historical significance. Why will people listening in Lexington, Kentucky, in Connecticut, in Texas, all over the country, why will they know Merrimack?
I would say Matthew Thornton.
That's right.
That would be my guess. Matthew Thorne, who is the signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much for having me on today. I appreciate it. But yeah, Matt, as a matter of fact, right around the corner from where my wife and I live is Jen and Thomas Thornton. And Thomas Thornton is a direct descendant of Matthew Thornton. He's the great, 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 great grandson, I think, is what it boils down to. So he's a direct descendant. It's pretty cool.
Wow, how cool is that? Rick Santorum is your guy.
Absolutely.
And so, first of all, tell me why do you throw your weight? Why do you throw your support toward Rick Santorum? What is it about Santorum that touched you?
There's a historical component to that, Kate. I'm a graduate of Boston College, and back in 1991, my senior year, when the senator first ran for the House in the Monongahela Valley of just outside of Pittsburgh.
Right.
I used to go in and follow his campaign by reading the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And that's how I got introduced to Rick, where he stood. I'm Catholic. I come from a blue collar. I grew up outside of Boston in Medford, and I come from what I would call an urban blue collar Catholic family, and that's where Rick came from. And I just think, for me, my father's always said you need to appreciate the fact that we have two nickels to scrape together, and there's a lot of people in this country that don't have two nickels to scrape together. And Rick Santorum comes from that same type of background, that same type of belief, that same type of value structure. And I've just, you know, from that point forward, I've always been a big fan of his, you know, Gang of Seven. You know, re-election when he got, when he, his district got gerrymandered and they put another incumbent again. And he said, bring it on. And he beat another incumbent.
Yeah.
You know, Harris Wolford in his first election for the United States Senate. I mean, this is a guy, this is an individual that has always fought the fight, an uphill fight in every single election that he's won. And he's won four of them. He's won four of them in a very, you know, what I would call, you know, union-based, blue-collar, democratic state of Pennsylvania. He's done it with tremendous success. And I am just attracted to him based on his personal background and the fact that he has tremendous leadership qualities that obviously he was able to appeal to not just Republicans but also independents and Democrats in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's interesting you say the independents. I was just reading something right before you sat down that 40% of Americans consider themselves, Bill, to be political independents this year. That's according to the latest Gallup numbers. That, if you roll that back, that compares to 31% who called themselves Democrats and 27% who are Republicans. So we knew this, but that independent vote is so huge.
Hey, it's huge. And anecdotally, just having lived up here, having grown up in Massachusetts, that's why Scott Brown got elected in 2010, was the independent vote. If you want to talk about that election, we could talk about that another time. But I'm just saying the independents carry a lot of weight, not just in Massachusetts, but definitely up here in New Hampshire, which is why if you look at some of the polls, ARP, Rasmussen, Suffolk, you know, they're all showing, you know, Romney's numbers coming down. You know, Governor Hutchinson's just getting a very small bump, just a really small bump. But the undecideds has increased. The undecideds is up to about 25% right now.
Wow.
I'm sorry, that's a huge number. And when you look at it, and I don't subscribe to polls because polls don't vote. Okay, let's be honest. Polls don't vote.
Right.
But when you look at, you know, Romney, who was comfortably in the 40s for a year.
Right.
Now he's at, you know, if you subscribe to Rasmussen, which I give a little bit more credence than
sure.
the other ones.
Sure.
You know, they had Romney at 38%.
They did.
Okay, so either that ceiling was a cap and it was a soft ceiling and now it's beginning to crumble under. I mean, there are people that are saying that we're enthralled with Romney that are making a decision, you know what, I got to go back in and take a second look at this. And I think a lot of it has to do with Senator Rick Santorum, his performance in Iowa, the fact that he's been in the state over 30 times over the past year. You know, he made a tremendous commitment to come into New Hampshire and meet the voter, you know, press the flesh, look people in the eye, and directly answer the questions that they've offered up. He's been unwavering in that aspect. And quite honestly, the New Hampshire voter appreciates that. It's somebody that's willing to answer their questions directly. They may not like the answer,
right?
But it's about getting the answer. And that's what's, quite honestly, I think people are taking a second look because it's refreshing.
And once the primary's over, the work's not done anyway, because as you know, I mean, then it's still more about what happens in all the other primaries and how it all boils down. And then, no matter who it is, let's ask this question.
Okay.
If it's not Rick Santorum, I mean, because I know you wanted to be Rick Santorum, but let's say it's not Rick Santorum, do you go with whoever it is versus Obama?
No. For me personally,
you go with Obama.
No, I wouldn't vote. I would go in. I'd pull a ballot and I'd throw it in.
Really?
Yeah, that's just for me personally.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Because you feel that passionate about Rick Santorum.
No, there's one
guy.
There's one candidate that I will not vote. There's one candidate that I will not vote for. All the other Republicans I think are very qualified.
Romney.
I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any names.
All right.
But I think if you pay attention to what's been talked about in the debates, it should become perfectly clear.
Yeah. Do you, you know, it's interesting. In getting all this, the Washington insiders and people that I talk
right.
to, a lot of people think it's, you know, this is really up for grabs, though. I mean, this election is up for grabs. It's not that, hey, Obama's the incumbent and this is, you know, look, we've had two past presidents where they got two terms. And I wasn't so sure about that, just from an outsider's perspective, just
right.
looking at it, not putting any feelings into it.
Okay.
But now I believe that. Now I think that there, you mentioned this about being from the blue-collar background, and even though the job numbers have switched, I don't think the job numbers really tell the story because there's people that are so underemployed in this country.
The number that, especially in New Hampshire, okay, I think what you have, I mean, people talk about that the unemployment rate might come down to about 8.9, 8.8. It's not factoring in the people that have exhausted their unemployment benefits. It's not factoring the person who is 55, who is employed, who makes a tactical decision that they're not going to collect because, you know what, I'm 55, I'm going to semi-retire, I'm going to open up a mom-and-pop business. I mean, you have those job numbers that don't reflect those types of changes to somebody's, you know, someone's employment status.
Right.
And let's be honest, there's really no fair way of calculating and being able to keep track of that. So I think when you look at it, to me, you know, people always used to lament that, you know, the unemployment rate would be around 4 or 5%. Well, I can't understand how people are, we have 4 or 5% when the economy is purring along, and like, duh, retirement. You know, if somebody's retired, technically they're unemployed. That's factored into that equation.
Right.
You're always going to have a certain percentage of people unemployed in this country. It comes down to what's the tangible number that you can keep track vis-a-vis the intangible number that you can't keep track of. And what you see right now is, I would argue that 9% number is definitely up in the double digits, because people are either, they've made the decision to retire, that they're not going to go back in the workforce, or they're going to be self-employed or be an entrepreneur and try and come up with an alternative means to generate some income.
Yeah, I agree with you. I say that all the time, that those numbers are not accurate, that it's definitely double-digit. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, and in talking about Santorum, to me, in the conversations that I've had, it seems to be that he's very small business entrepreneur. We got to reach out. This is this country. 90% of the businesses are small businesses. What do you think? Do you think I'm on target with that? That I was right, that he offers that. That's part of his message.
There's two things there's probably 2 points. You get small business in his Made in the USA plan to invigorate manufacturing in the company.
Yeah.
I think you need to look at, you know, he wants to eliminate energy and agricultural subsidies within 4 years. He wants to do away with a lot of the onerous regulations that have permeated small business now under the Obama administration for the last 3 years. This is a gentleman that wants to cut, you know, $5 trillion in 5 years. And contrary to Congressman Paul, who says he's going to cut 5 departments and $1 trillion immediately when he walks into office, well, you know, he's never passed a piece of legislation. He's only passed one piece of legislation in his 20 years serving in the House. You know, Senator Santorum has worked across the aisle. The Iran Accountability Act, the Syria Accountability Act, welfare reform, banking reform in the House, the Gang of Seven,
yeah.
You know, the way that they do those sorts of things. He was against the Wall Street bailout. So I think when you look at the things that he's done in the past, it's going to be indicative of what he's going to do when he walks into the Oval Office as it relates to, you know, making government less intrusive and putting more money back in the hands of investors. You know, because that's what it's going to take. I mean, if you look at his Made in America plan, the corporate rate right now is at 35%. He wants to slash it for all the corporations down to 17.5, except for manufacturing, cut that down to zero. And what that does is that, you know, that income is going to be created. It's going to be more, you know, more infrastructure, physical plant, hiring people, more, you know, more product being produced.
Right.
And the ancillary effect is they're going to build, workers are going to come to work. They got to go eat somewhere. That means a mom and pop store down the street with the local dinette. They're going to start feeding some of these workers. So there's an ancillary effect that occurs as a result of lowering that corporate rate. So because of his background, because of growing up in a working class family, he understands the value of a dollar. He understands what it means when people are working, people not working. And to me, there's no bigger champion for the working class than Senator Santorum.
Yeah, and somehow I think people that have listened to Rick get that, but somehow that hasn't permeated with some of the others out there.
And one of the other things, you know, repealing Obamacare. I mean, I keep forgetting. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is repealing Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know, the fact that now you're obligating people to provide, you know, health insurance, you know, that's forcing a mom and pop business to make a decision as to whether they can stay open, because, you know, let's
healthcare
because it's
huge.
Premiums are huge. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies, they have to, you know, having a healthcare background, you know, insurance companies have to do their underwriting and have to be able to provide the best possible premium to, you know, mitigate risk versus, you know,
right,
people that participate in our wealth. So,
right,
you know, that's really the huge factor. It's,
yeah,
it's that issue. It's the,
yep,
underwriting piece, which a lot of people don't seem to and it's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say complicated piece.
Right, right.
But that's what drives premium is the actual, you know, ratios of premium to benefits and risk,
right,
risk rewards.
Right, and somehow that's lost in the sauce. Bill, thanks so much. We're out of time. We appreciate it.
Kate, thanks for letting me talk to you, listeners.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities. Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch. GoldenStagSafaris.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Welcome back to Radio Row with me, Kate Delaney, and, of course, Coast to Coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We're pleased to be joined by, from Michigan, Congressman Bill Huizinger.
Yes, very good.
Yes. I did the
just like it sounds, H-U-I-Z-E-N-G-A.
I was telling someone this the other day. I used to do hockey. And so can you imagine those names? Your name is a piece of cake.
It's not Russian.
Right, exactly. Congressman, let me ask you this, because I have a lot of passionate callers from all over Michigan, and they're so concerned about the economy. They're so concerned, as you know, obviously, the auto industry.
Yeah.
Still have the after effects of that. Before we get into anything else, how do you feel about the where you're headed with the economy in that state?
Well, you know, and it's interesting. We just announced unemployment rates. My home county of Ottawa County, which is just outside of Grand Rapids, announced a 6.5% unemployment rate, which has been low, beyond low, for us over the last number of years. Michigan's moving in the right direction, and I would argue that actually it's uniquely positioned, because we had a very difficult decade under the Granholm administration. There was a lot of different directions. The automotive industry suffered, and we saw our businesses go and get smarter and leaner and in many ways be prepared for this recovery uniquely that a lot of the other states are not.
And so when you say that, what did you do uniquely? How did you recover from that?
Well, you know, part of it was that just simply business, you know, not saying government did this. I'm saying businesses had to go in and retool. I'm a small business owner. I have a small sand and gravel company, which is connected to my family's. My dad and my uncle had started a ready-mix concrete company. very dependent on construction. That went away dramatically. And, you know, I've had to figure out how am I buying my fuel differently. How are we having the guys work differently? What are we doing to make ourselves more efficient? Not depending on anybody else and certainly not the government to help me out. But making sure that, you know, my partner, my cousin Bruce and I have the ability to go in and say, okay, we got to retool here a little bit. We got to think differently. And we saw a number of those suppliers, who, for example, who had been automotive suppliers predominantly, start saying, okay, wait a minute, I can no longer supply to the auto industry. I can no longer supply to the office furniture industry. We've got Hayworth, Herman Miller, and Steelcase all in the area as well. So guess what? They're in mining and drilling. They've started to branch out, do things differently. And I think that's the kind of mindset that we have to have.
Talk about mindset. One of the things that's very frustrating to the people that call, and as I mentioned to you, really my Michigan base, a lot of people call up and they're frustrated. They feel like there's such a log jam in D.C. that nothing is getting done. There's that perception that you're doing nothing. Yeah. You're getting on C-SPAN and you're grandstanding about whatever. How do you get through that? How do you cut through that log jam?
Well, you know, in many ways, this is an emphasized area, and you think about this in your own personal life. It's a lot easier to carp about somebody if you don't have a relationship with them, right? And I don't care if you're in your own family or, you know, and I have so many people say to me, oh, I could never do what you do, all this politics. And I say, okay, are you a member of a family, a church, a school board? You're involved in politics too. And it really boils down to relationships. And we don't have the opportunity to build those relationships in many ways. And then we don't look for it. And there's more that happens under the surface than most people realize, but you know, frankly, mainstream media looks at it and says, "Well, you know, we'd rather report the blood and guts getting spilled on the floor because that's much more fun." And you know, I think that is an epidemic that's been happening, but that doesn't explain all of it. You know, certainly there is this philosophical divide, and I think this is a kind of a crossroads for the country. We're trying to figure out what is that philosophical direction that we're going to go.
Dealing with, in Congress now, dealing with, in February, of course, the payroll tax cut.
Yeah.
You know, I call it the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it was a Band-Aid. So then you come back in February.
And dumb, frankly. I mean, how do we go about and do 2 months of tax policy at a time? This makes absolutely no sense. You know, they don't even have the courtesy to match it up with my quarterly tax filing. You know, so what am I going to have? 2 months of tax policy one way and another month another way? And, you know, it's crazy. But anyway.
So what do you think happens in that debate when you get back? I mean, because there's now a deadline again.
Sure, again, another deadline. And, you know, this drove me nuts. A certain senator from New York, as he was sitting up in New York, I was watching him while I'm in Washington, and he's saying, you know, all the House of Representatives has to do is pass this two-month extension, and I'll be the first one on an airplane back to Washington, and we'll work on this day one, solving this for the entire year. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, I got an idea. How about getting your butt on a plane now and coming down, and you can be part of the conference committee back in December, because guess what? We're going to be dealing with the exact same issues, whether it's December or whether it's February, that brought us to that crisis point. And, you know, the American people, for those that are employees, the unemployed employers, they're looking at it going, okay, so really you can't tell me what's going to be happening with unemployment insurance in starting in March? Really you can't tell me what's going to be happening with the Social Security payroll tax cut? It 2 months out, you really can't tell me whether my doctor or healthcare provider is going to be reimbursed through Medicare,
right?
You know,
right.
I mean, it's ludicrous, and I think that's been the problem. Frankly, has been a lack of ability to get long-term decisions made, and that's what we're trying to change around.
What about, you know, mentioning and talking about things that people care about? Obviously, the Supreme Court's taken up the individual mandate with what we currently have for healthcare. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as I look at it and I read it, I think that, one, I'm glad, and I will actually agree with the administration on this, I'm glad that they decided not to prolong this and continue to have, you know, these lower courts have sort of these split decisions and request that it go to the Supreme Court. What I've heard is that they're going to literally take days of testimony on this, which is very unusual. I mean, the Supreme Court typically goes in and hears a case. It gets an hour, and they're talking days of reviewing this case. So I think it's proper, though, and in my opinion, I think that the court should rule that the federal government doesn't have the ability to come in and mandate you and I as individuals to go do any particular action as significant as this.
Right. Are you for smaller government versus bigger regulations?
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, there's a couple of things as a small business owner and as I talk to other business owners. Here's what I hear. One, we need access to credit. All right, we need the ability to do this, and Dodd-Frank and a number of these other rules and regulations have just put these burdens on. And it's not these big multinational banks and international banks; it's the small community banks, the guys that I have a relationship with, who are having that burden foisted on them. Yeah, the second thing that we need is consumer confidence. You know, we need to feel a little better about where we're at, and people can feel like the rug's going to get pulled out from under them. But probably the third thing is certainty. You know, that certainty that is out there, that needs to be out there as someone who's trying to make long-term business decisions. I have a 12-year-old loader, all right, front-end loader that I got to replace in my gravel pit. This is a significant investment for me. It's $250,000 investment, and I'm looking at it, and I don't know what my tax structure is. I don't know what my regulatory structure is. I don't know what my health care costs are going to be. I don't know what my fuel costs are going to be. And I sort of sit back and go, let's just wait, you know, and that uncertainty, you take that and magnify it by many, many times, and you have much more significant companies than the one that I own, who are basically parking their cash on the side and saying, hey, we're just going to wait and see what's going to happen here first.
Let me ask you this last one, because I know everybody's going to be pawing at you here in the bullpen. Who's your guy? Who's your guy in this thing?
Yeah, I just literally just yesterday came out in favor of Mitt Romney, and I've got a relationship. I wanted to go and meet all of the candidates again. 4 years ago, I served as the district chairman for our congressional district when I was a state legislator as well. And I had worked for my predecessor, Peter Hoekstra, as his district director. So I've been around a number of these people for quite a while. But I wanted to give them, you know, Herman Cain and Rick Perry and some of these other people kind of a fair shot. But as I look at it, I think Mitt has got the unique set of experiences both in the private sector as well as that public policy executive side of things that he's going to be able to present a view and a direction that we desperately need here in the country.
And you think it's Mitt? You think that the polls say that? I mean, just, you know, all the way down the line. Of course, we have all these primaries.
Yeah, well, and certainly you got to have a few things. One, you've got to have grassroots passion. All right, but there are plenty of people out there that have grassroots passion, but they don't have the infrastructure and the fundraising and all those other things on that other side to sustain that.
Right.
Then there's the other side, which is people have all kinds of cash, but they don't have that grassroots side of things.
Right.
And you know, if that were the case, it would be President Forbes, and you know, we can all come up with these examples of people that simply haven't been able to buy their way into this. You've got to have that combination, and I think that as I look at it, Mitt has got a complete package when it comes to ground game and support throughout all the different states that are hosting these primaries, these early primaries. Michigan's is February 28th. Maybe it'll be wrapped up by then, but he certainly has the resources and he's gone through this. There's nothing quite like going through this experience.
True, that is true.
Teach you where some of those pitfalls are.
Congressman, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order.
Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.